The NTSB revises its rules of practice. 20 airports reap $6.4 million in AIP grants and rallying round the merger. This is Aero News for Friday, September 20th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. The NTSB has issued a final rule to implement several changes to its rules of practice applicable to aviation certificate enforcement appeals. In response to the Pilots' Bill of Rights legislation, the NTSB is adopting as a final rule what was an interim final rule. Under the Pilots' Bill of Rights, the Federal Aviation Administration must disclose its Enforcement Investigative Report, or EIR, to the FAA certificate holder in an aviation certificate enforcement action. The NTSB administrative law judges must apply the federal rules of civil procedure and federal rules of evidence in enforcement cases, and litigants now have the option of appealing the NTSB's final orders to either a federal district court or a federal court of appeals. Under the interim rule, the FAA certificate holder is permitted to submit a motion to dismiss an FAA complaint if the FAA fails to disclose releasable portions of its EIR. Now, that's all part of the NTSB's final rule, effective immediately. The NTSB has also now determined that it should include a proposal to extend the EIR availability requirement in the Pilot's Bill of Rights to emergency enforcement cases. As a result, the NTSB is publishing a new Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, or NPRM, to require the FAA to make available the EIR in emergency enforcement cases. Comments on the NPRM will be accepted until October the 21st. U.S. Transportation Secretary Anthony Fox announced Thursday that he would release $6.4 million in FAA AIP grants for 20 airports nationwide that are taking innovative steps to becoming more sustainable. Airports can use the grants to reduce their environmental impacts by reducing noise and water usage, improving air quality, and minimizing impacts to surrounding communities through actions such as reducing ground-based vehicle emissions. Funding from the FAA's AIP enables airports to study, plan, and develop sustainability initiatives to be incorporated into existing or future airport projects. Some of the sustainability initiatives include reducing energy consumption through the use of alternative fuels for buildings and vehicles, enabling aircraft to use electricity and preconditioned air provided at airport gates instead of running aircraft engines during wait times, installing light sensors to automatically turn off lights and reduce energy use, using green products at airport facilities, and promoting land uses that attract businesses and industries that can benefit from being near an airport, thereby minimizing travel to and from the airport and reducing exhaust emissions. In announcing the grants, Secretary Fox said, quote, "We want the U.S. aviation system to be the safest in the world and also the most sustainable and environmentally conscious," end quote. Over the past 2 days, hundreds of American Airlines and U.S. Airways employees, including pilots, flight attendants, mechanics, technicians, aircraft dispatchers, call center representatives, airport customer service agents, and fleet service employees, all traveled to Washington, D.C., to meet with more than 50 senators and nearly 300 congressmen to make their case for the benefits of combining American Airlines and U.S. Airways. The 2-day event culminated in an employee rally on Capitol Hill, which was attended by members of Congress and the leaders of unions who demonstrated their support for the upcoming merger. Lufthansa has announced an aggressive modernization plan for its long-haul fleet with an order split between Boeing and Airbus. The airline reportedly has agreed to purchase 59 ultra-modern aircraft, 34 Boeing 777-9Xs, and 25 Airbus A350-900s will be added to the Lufthansa Group's wide-body fleet. The first of these new aircraft will be delivered as early as 2016. Older Boeing 747-400s and Airbus A340-300s will be phased out by 2025. The new airplanes will primarily serve to replace existing aircraft at Lufthansa. Air France has announced that 2,800 people will be separated from the airline as part of its Transform 2015 program. The airline presented an updated version of the plan to the Central Works Council on Thursday. In a news release, Air France said its recovery has begun and Transform 2015 is taking effect. In the first half, the implementation of measures led operating income to increase by 100 million euros. That's approximately $135 million. However, in 2013, the Air France group will not achieve its objective of returning to equilibrium. A Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office helicopter responding to a 911 call was targeted by a gunman Wednesday afternoon. The suspect, now in custody, allegedly fired several rounds at the circling aircraft. The Long Beach Patch reports that the incident occurred about 13:15 Pacific Daylight Time Wednesday afternoon. A 911 dispatcher received a call from a woman and said they could hear screaming. Another woman was yelling at a man, asking why he was pointing a gun at her. Using cell phone triangulation, the L.A. County Sheriff's Office was able to locate the area from which the call originated and dispatched the helo in an effort to find the woman. The suspect was identified as 24-year-old Javier Cardenas. He was with a woman in a private home. Cardenas allegedly fired several shots at the county helo, but did not hit it. The woman escaped the house and ran to the police. Cardenas, meanwhile, was reportedly taken into custody without further incident, and bail was set at $100,000. When Aero News continues, is this the winter of our discontent? Fly in and fill her up for a buck. And the rules don't apply to my son.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher-performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Friday, September 20th. I'm Glenn Moyer. A Facebook page established by a longtime volunteer at the Sun and Fun Fly-In in Lakeland, Florida, calls on others concerned about the future of the event to address what he says are serious problems, particularly with the current board of directors. Dale Foe established the page, on which he stresses it is not his intent to cause harm to Sun and Fun. Rather, he says it is a call to action for other volunteers to work with him to make changes in how the event is organized and run. Foe says that, quote, "The event we built and was recognized internationally as a world-class convention has slowly spiraled out of control into something hardly distinguishable from a county fair," end quote. Foe last year established an unofficial volunteer advisory committee made up of about 25 longtime volunteers at the event. Foe says the board should make his unofficial voluntary advisory council official with a say in who is elected to the board. The Redbird Skyport Fly More Avgas Experiment, otherwise known as the Buck a Gallon event, will kick off in a couple of weeks, and the flight training facility in San Marcos, Texas, has released additional details about the effort. The purpose of this event is to study the effect that fuel price has on flying activity, as well as to understand how fuel price factors into the complete cost picture. The offer of $1 a gallon avgas is open to any piston-powered general aviation aircraft that can fly into San Marcos Municipal Airport under its own power. Only the regular tanks in the aircraft will be filled. To maintain a reliable supply for everyone and keep delays to a minimum, the fueling limit is 200 gallons per aircraft per day. Aircraft requiring more than 200 gallons may purchase the additional amount, but at the regular price. No one believed to be violating the spirit of the experiment will be refueled. The $1 price is valid for the entire month of October during normal operating hours from 6 a.m. until 10 p.m. Officials say there may be lines to get gas, so if you expect to be in a hurry, it's recommended that you pre-register on the website or by calling Redbird in advance. Data collected from pilots during the month will be aggregated before publication, and absolutely no individual personal information will be shared. Altitude rules for VFR flight in the UK are similar to those here in the U.S., including a prohibition from flying below 1,000 feet over a populated area. That rule was reportedly ignored by a 23-year-old pilot towing a banner over a shopping area in Preston, Lancashire, UK. He admitted to flying low over the Guild Center, the tallest building in Preston. He also was observed towing the banner at 500 feet over crowded streets in the area. The Lancashire Evening Post reports that the pilot is Mark Pinarski, and the incident occurred on January 15th in the afternoon. Civil aviation authorities said they tracked the flight on radar and showed the aircraft at 500 feet at its lowest point during the flight. The paper reports that Pinarski pleaded guilty to breaking altitude rules and paid a fine equal to about $800 and court cost of about another $1,900. While Pinarski would not comment, his father said that he had been, quote-unquote, unfairly treated by the court. Sounds like a case of the rules apply to everyone else, but not my son. This weekend, I'll be the air show announcer at the InTouch Credit Union Plano Balloon Festival in Plano, Texas. That's just north of Dallas on I-35. If you're in the neighborhood, I hope you'll stop by. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks, as always, for listening. You're now cleared for departure.